Glen Cree by Helen Quinn.
City West, Glendalkin, Tala blurs past me as the car hurtles towards the Dublin mountains. Cityscape morphs into landscape as we leave behind motorways, industrial sites and housing estates. The road narrows as the car wends its way upwards past trees and hills until we reach a high point. We decide to stop and look down upon the sprawling mess that is named Dublin. Standing side by side, the wind whistles through the space between us as we take in the cool, fresh air. Eventually, we return to the car. The music is switched back on. It fills the void. It always has done. I gaze around me as we drive down into a valley. The dump, dump, dump of the high-energy music reverberates through me as the car turns a corner. We are headed for our favourite place. Tucked down in the valley is Glen Cree, a place of outstanding beauty, the centre for peace and reconciliation. The centre is hidden beneath tall leafy trees and cannot be seen from the road. We pass three or four cottages ranging from the new but seeking to look old to the authentically old and decaying. Smooth, crafted stonework jostles alongside peeling paint and loosely held garden gates. The car is parked outside the German military graveyard. It contains the bodies of the World War II German soldiers who died crossing the Irish skies. Every time we come here, I ponder on them. Who were they? What were their lives like? Why Glen Cree? The cemetery is surrounded by a sheer rock that was part of the former quarry. Standing at the top of this rock is a stone Celtic cross that reminds the occupants of the graves that it is Irish soil they are buried in. We usually climb up there, but not today. On our last visit during the summer, I had romantic notions of us lying up there, naked and languid under the summer sun. He would not approve of that. It was never in his remit. Today it is grey, but I am heartened when the weak autumn sun filters through, giving the place a warm yellow glow. It highlights the green spores growing on the rock face. As I open the heavy wrought iron gate, I notice the leaves are starting to wilt. The man whom I shared 2 years of my life passes me by and heads towards the graves. I follow him. Silently we look at each one. I can hear the river close by. It is roaring its way down into the valley, shoving silt, stones and rocks out of its way. I am lured by its furious call. As I approach it, I stop at a fence. It feels damp and smells of mould. The scent of decaying leaves and rotting vegetation fill my nostrils. A wasp drunkenly flies past me, grabbing its last moments of life. I step aside to avoid it. I turn around and spy on him. He is staring intently at the graves. His face is implacable. I wait for him to join me. He usually does, but not this time. I go to the front gate expecting him to follow me. He takes his time. We cross the road and move towards the river bank, edging our way towards the old stone bridge. Its intricate ironwork is twisted and bent out of shape. As we cross it, I stand in the middle and stare at the water, wondering if we will reconcile. Will the magic of this place transform him? I look to the left and see the grotto. The Virgin Mary is surrounded by flowers, candles and prayers, people placing their faith and hope in her. Should I? I sigh and turn away. I see my other half walk towards the rocks that crisscross the riverbed. Can I call him my other half anymore? I make my way towards him. When I come to the rocks, I dip my hands in the water. They grow red with the cold, but the water purifies me for a moment. I feel light, energized. Who knows what will happen today? Anything is possible. Up above, we see a waterfall. He calls me over and I bound towards him. He is smiling. He reaches out his hand to help me across, and in doing so accidentally slips into the water. It is not deep, but he laughs, shaking the water off his shoe as he steps back onto the rock. The tension is broken as we look at each other for the first time that day. I move towards him and put my arms around him. That is when I know. He pats my back like a friend, ensuring our bodies do not connect. The sting of rejection takes my breath away. I fix my gaze upon the waterfall as he moves towards it. He does not look back. I find the nearest rock and stare hard at the water, trying to quell the torrent within me. Clouds close in, blocking out the sun. He heads back towards the riverbank. Slowly I drag myself up, and as I move from rock to rock, I grab hold of a branch. My thumb connects with something that is soft and squishy. It is a delicate piece of moss. I rub it for a moment, admiring its emerald brilliance. I'm tempted to rip it apart and sling it into the water. I choose not to. I catch up with him and we head towards the centre, ambling up the steep steps. The air has made us hungry, so we go into the tea rooms. I drink tea and eat cake. It tastes of cardboard, but it shuts my stomach up. Our chat is rudimentary, polite the way two strangers are when they first meet. As I sip my tea, I think of all the times he told me he loved me, that we would spend the rest of our lives together. He talked a lot about love, but his actions did not reflect his words. When we leave Glencree, I look back, watching the centre, the trees and the valley disappear. I feel my future disappear away from me. He speaks to me as I turn around. This time his words match his actions.